Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And folks, you know, this is live radio. And you know what happens when you have a live show, whether it's radio or television or the theater or whatever. When it's live, you get what we get. And as you know, we get our guests early in the morning when the show is originally produced, and we get them in their bunny slippers. But sometimes they're traveling, and so we get them in their bunny slippers in a hotel. And sometimes we aren't always able to hook up. It happens every once in a while. As you know, it doesn't happen a lot. But from time to time, we aren't able to hook up with the folks that we think we're going to hook up with. And we're having that difficulty now with Rolly Pinsky. She may be with us in just a few minutes, and she may not, because we're having a little trouble finding her. She's not where we thought she was. Anyway, I'm going to continue to march, though, because I want to talk to you about promoting yourself. I've done this show enough, and I've talked to Raleigh, and I've done my own promoting enough to know a little bit about it. So I want to share some ideas with you. And if you've got some ideas, you can share them with us, 800-531-3815. First thing I want to talk about promoting yourself is I want to talk about your business name. And now, if you've already got a business name, then you're probably saying, well, I'm not going to change my name. And of course, to start with, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your name. But I do want to talk about the concept of naming your business. And to me, one of the most important things that you need to do is make sure that when people say your name or when they hear the name of your business, that it means something to them, that it's intuitive, at least in some way, so for example, if you're in the copier business, and you say, and you name your company the John Jones Company, well, in the phone book, or if somebody says the name out, you know, says the name to someone, that doesn't mean anything except your name. It doesn't mean that you sell copiers or you sell electronic equipment. It doesn't mean that at all. And now, if you're willing to spend a lot of money to let everybody in the world know that John Jones Company stands for electronic office equipment, then that's fine if you're willing to spend that kind of money. But if you'd like, one of the things that we know about small business owners is that we don't have a lot of money for brand building, and so we have to do the kind of things that as we move through our business, we have to do the kind of things that helps us build our brand without spending a ton of money. And one of the ways to do that is by making your name intuitive, at least to some degree. And now, if you sell copiers and you want to call your company the John Jones Electronics Company, you know, if you want to use a little more of a broad term, that's fine. But the main thing is as you move through the decisions that you're making about your business, whether it be naming your company, whether it be how you advertise, how you market the company, how you represent it to customers, when you introduce yourself, make sure that the way you do that, the way you talk about yourself, and the way others talk about you, and the way you present yourself in the marketplace, make sure that it happens in such a way that it promotes you as efficiently as possible. It promotes your company. It promotes your company brand. It promotes your company products the most efficiently as possible. So think about that. Let me give you an example of an actual physical example of what not to do along those lines. Billboards. You ever see a small business up on a billboard? Well, how fast are you going when you drive by a billboard? You ever see a billboard where there's so much stuff on it that there's no possible way you could read it unless you rode by like 100 times and read one little piece at a time. Who's going to want to do that? So if you've got a billboard up there, if you're buying a billboard advertising, white space is good. As short a message as possible, the name of the company and one little logo, one little tagline up there is all you want. Well, think about other ways that you enter the marketplace as a billboard, like if you're just being introduced to somebody, or if on a business card, or on your letterhead, or however your brand enters the marketplace. Make sure you think of it like the billboard, so that it's very quick, very short, totally intuitive, so that people don't have to say when they ask you what you do and what the name of your company is. When you tell them, then you don't have to take 30 minutes to explain to them what that means. And that's all part of promoting yourself. That's, believe it or not, you see, if you remember earlier, I was talking about the fact that that promoting yourself is not about, you know, demanding everyone's attention and you tell them what you do, or like some people will do when you meet them, they ask you about three times, have I told you my background? You know, it's not like that. It doesn't have to be like that. Promoting yourself is a lot of different things. And how you name your company and how you deliver your brand to the marketplace is all part of promoting yourself and promoting your company and promoting your brand. And so you need to think about whenever you're creating letterhead, your business card, your advertising, your marketing material, the way your customers, I mean, I'm sorry, the way your employees talk about your company when they introduce themselves to on the phone, when they introduce themselves in person, when they work with customers online through email, the way your website looks, the way it presents itself. When people get there, how long does it take them, when people hear you, when they read your stuff, when they get to your website, when they get to your business, how long does it take them to figure out what you do and what you stand for? If it takes very long, then even if you've already got all that stuff done, if it's wrong, you might want to think about making some changes. Certainly, you might want to think about making some changes by the time you order the next round of letterhead or business cards, or you may want to start planning for some different signage. And one of the ways to do that is to test it. Ask people, you know, what do you think? Whenever you meet a new person, ask them, you know, what do you think about this name, or what do you think about the way this signage looks? Ask your customers. They'll tell you. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Small business advocate. One of the biggest mistakes small business owners make, I think, is that we fail to capitalize on the information that is available to us about our customers. There are the people who do business with us have information that would be valuable to us and valuable to the relationship that you have with those customers. They have phone numbers, they have addresses, they have email addresses. Are you asking your customers for that information? If you're not, you're making one of those big mistakes that I just mentioned that I think small business owners make, is when you're not getting that information. Now, the customers don't mind if you ask them if you can contact them, because all they got to do is say no if they don't want you to. But I think you'll be surprised when you ask them, I think you'll be surprised how many people will say okay. Now, you may have their mailing address. When you take an order from them, you quite often will take an address and a phone number. But sometimes not. I mean, if you have the kind of business for example, let's say you're in the restaurant business and you've got, you're in the cash business. You necessarily, people don't charge things with you. It's a retail type of business. So you may not have their home address, but if you develop a marketing plan that you can, where you can reach out and touch these people, and then if you'll ask them for that information, most of them will give it to you. And all you got to do is say, we like to let our customers know about this or that. Make sure it's something that's a benefit to them. One of the things we like to do, ma'am, is we like to let our customers know when we have something new happening, some special coming on, a new product that comes in. I notice that you like this or that. And whenever we have a new product coming in along those lines, we like to make sure that our customers know about that. Can we contact you about that? This is promoting yourself. This is all part of the marketing plan that you should have. And they'll, more times than not, they'll say, okay. And they'll count on you not to abuse that. And if you abuse that, they just won't come back. They'll ask you to take you off their list, take them off your list, and they just won't come back. And so, obviously, you're not going to do that. But how many of you who, number one, who are collecting addresses and phone numbers aren't doing anything with those? Now, I'm not talking about the phone numbers. I'm not talking about calling people at dinner time and bugging them. Obviously, I'm not saying that. But are you taking that information, especially the addresses, and are you using it to your advantage to send them a little card, to remind them, a little marketing card, a direct mail piece? Are you sending that out to let them know about a spring sale, or to remind them that they might want to bring their car in to have it serviced because it's been 6 months since the last time, or whatever it might be? And are you collecting the email addresses so that you can put them, you can give them the opportunity to opt into your email communication, which, as you know, if you've been listening to me for very long, I think is something that you need to be working on. I think it's something that you need to be focusing on. So your customers are coming to you, and they're giving you information that you can use to your advantage, but also to their advantage. And if you'll structure the way you reach out to them, not so that it is to your advantage, but it's all about them. It's all about what they're going to get out of this. If you can do that, then you'll have a very successful marketing program where you'll use their mailing address or their email address to reach out and touch them. And if you have their phone number, and they give you they tell you that it's okay to call them, then you can do that. The whole thing is, it's a couple of important issues. Number one, do you have the information? And if you don't, why not? And number two, what do you do with that information once you get it? But a lot of small businesses have those addresses, that information about their customers, in their file drawers, and they're not doing anything with it. And yet they'll say, well, why don't I have customers coming in? Well, maybe you haven't asked the customers to come in. Sometimes you do. You have to ask. You have to remind customers. Believe it or not, we all have to remind customers why they should do business with us. They won't do it automatically a lot of times. Sometimes they will, but sometimes they won't. And remember this, there are plenty of other people out there doing what you do, selling what you sell, sometimes less expensively than you. But if you're the one who contacts them and says, we have something new, why don't you come by and see us? Or maybe it's just, we've missed you. We would like to see you again. Maybe there's nothing, but you may say nothing, but we've missed you. Come to see us. Guess what? You'd be surprised. I mean, think about that. Think about how you would feel if somebody said that to you. It would make you go there instead of somewhere else where they didn't invite them back. Just something to think about as you move through your day, as you plan the future of your small business. We're going to take a quick break. It's 29 after. When we come back, we'll be visiting with our good friend Don Cooper. We're going to talk about fear and selling, putting those two together and separating them at the same time. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Stay with us. With black hair, little blind man, he's got interstate running.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.